Hi, Disney fans. This week, we've got the inside scoop on the series of beautifully restored classic animated shorts from Walt Disney Animation Studios, coming to Disney Plus as part of this year's Disney 100 celebration.
Ranging from classics to lesser-known titles, these entertaining shorts feature some of Disney's most beloved characters.
Today, we have Karen Weissman from the Restoration and Preservation team to tell us all about it. I'm Hunter.
I'm Lisa.
And I'm Sherry, and this is D23 Inside Disney.
Oh, hi!
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 Let's talk about these shorts, you guys! I'm a big skeleton dance fan, so I am so excited that this is newly restored on Disney Plus. Now I can watch it over and over and over and over again.
I'm with you. Every time October comes around, it's time to watch these skeletons dance.
Yes, or August.
Or August.
January.
Fall, yeah.
You know, all year.
I grew up watching these classic shorts. I'm sure you both did too. Mm-hmm. And what's amazing is so did my parents. So did my parents' parents. It's like, what a legacy. And some of these shorts coming to Disney Plus, they even predate Mickey Mouse. Like there's All Wet and Trolley Troubles. Those are from 1927.
Wow.
And star Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. I can't wait to see those.
Oswald! Ooh, same here. I mean, there's so much rich storytelling within such little time. It's incredible what these shorts have brought to the world.
I know, right? Tiny but mighty. Clearly, they have a long-lasting effect on all of us. So because we're all longtime Disney fans here, it's exciting to talk about these newly restored classic shorts from Walt Disney Animation Studios on today's episode.
They've been a timeless part of so many generations of Disney fans, and they really symbolize a lot about what has made this company so cherished over the last century. Mm. Most importantly, though, they still make me laugh, you know?
Yes. Yeah. You are probably wondering who oversaw this, who made this happen, who brought these restorations to Disney Plus? Well, we have the Walt Disney Studios Restoration and Preservation team led by director Kevin Schaefer to thank. So they worked in very close collaboration with creative advisors from Walt Disney Animation Studios. And the first batch of shorts is already available to stream on Disney Plus, and the next six are premiering in September and October.
Nice. Even more to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you ready for some trivia now?
I always say I am, and then I always get them wrong. So I don't know.
Same. Yeah.
Spiritually, I'm ready.
Sherry's open for this. All right. Here's our first one. One of the shorts in the first batch is the very first Silly Symphony cartoon ever produced by Walt Disney. Do you know the title and the year of its release? Was it A, El Terrible Toreador from 1929, B, The Skeleton Dance from 1929, C, Frolicking Fish from 1930, or D, The Clock Store from 1931?
That's a tough one. Sherry, what are you leaning towards?
Well, let's see. Okay, so I'm leaning toward the earlier years. So I'm leaning toward one of the two 1929 options. I don't know. What do you think, Hunter?
I like the logic there. Because we both share a favorite in The Skeleton Dance, I'm going to go with B, The Skeleton Dance.
Yes.
I was trying not to give it away because I was like, you've been talking about it already. It is B, The Skeleton Dance.
Yeah, we got one right. Finally.
You can't see it at home, but we're all doing the skeleton dance choreographed right
it's
now.
It's true. In perfect synchronization. Well, you can look for the rest of the restored shorts to debut in September and October only on Disney Plus.
Oh, man. I can't wait. I always liked stopping at, you know, the Main Street Cinema in Disneyland to watch those classic Disney shorts.
Awesome.
Now in Disneyland's queue for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, there's posters of shorts from the 30s, like fiddling around and building a building. I've watched a few of them already and they look fantastic. I can't wait to hear all about the restoration process. So let's get right into our chat with Karen Weissman.
Hi, Karen. Thanks so much for joining us today. We're so excited to have you here.
Hi.
Nice to be here. So how do you come to the position of restoration and preservation manager at Disney? Do you have a history in animation, computers, or digital art?
Yeah, in our group, we do live action and animation. We kind of oversee the library, everything, 2D, 3D. You kind of have to know a little bit about everything. So not necessarily the animation expert, but I've been at Disney since, I think, 2014. And then prior to that, I was actually working on the facility side, and the Disney folks I work with now are my clients. So I was working on Disney stuff before I was at Disney. A lot of digital effects and restoration, a lot of that stuff kind of uses the same tool, you know, as far as restoring the images. So it just sort of all kind of goes in hand in hand.
Cool. We'd love to know a little bit more about people that you work with. I know these preservations are done as a team. Who do you work with, and what is everyone's role?
So on the Disney side, I work under Kevin Schaefer, who's our director, and we work on the studio side. A lot of times people think we're with animation, and we're not. We're in the operational side of the studio. And I also have some of the works with me kind of helping to project manage. And we have another me on the team who does a lot of the Fox stuff and old silence and other kinds of things as well. It's a small team really on the Disney side. And then we sometimes will partner with Pixar. We work with the creative books at Pixar or on some of the shorts. We actually had some animators come in on the animation side. So we'll kind of, we need to do some with Marvel. We partner with them. So we'll sort of partner with the creative talents depending on what we're doing and depending on what it is, or if there is anyone to partner with, sometimes it's just us. So we're a pretty small group.
Amazing. It's a robust group of people that you're working with, and it fits very well that this is a treasure trove of shorts that you're bringing to us. Can you paint us a picture of how some of these shorts looked and sounded before the restoration? Like, when you think of restoration, discoloring scratches, noisy audio, what were you finding as you revisited these shorts?
I mean, it's definitely a mixed bag. We had shorts, I think 1961 was our most recent short, which was a Goofy short. And they all are very different as far as what we are able to find to work with. A lot of the early ones from the late 20s, early 30s, we don't always have the original elements anymore. Some of them didn't make it this far over time, and some we do. So it gets a little more challenging to try to find the best source, get the best image quality and audio out there to everyone. From the 50s and 60s, they were really good at that point with the color film, sort of archiving everything, but the color looks really, really great. So it was sort of different challenges, I guess, depending on what we were working on at the time.
I like how you mentioned the Goofy shorts in particular. Goofy is just one of my favorites, and I imagine very comical and fun to just go back and take a look at. What's one example of how you fixed one of the Goofy shorts, or you restored one of the Goofy shorts?
I believe those were all color. We have one from 1939, we have one from 1949 and 1961. And the one from 1939, Goofy and Wilbur, and that one was in really good shape. You know, we just found there was a lot of things, like sometimes the grasshopper's leg disappears. So I thought back a single frame. Back in the day, watching a film print in a movie theater, nobody would ever notice. But now everybody, of course, can watch things, you know, on their big screen TVs at home, you know, their UHD TVs. And definitely the farther back we go, the more challenging it is. So I would say that one was probably the most challenging.
I'm just fascinated by this whole process, especially as the medium's changing. We're going from film to Disney Plus, and how you have to account for, wait, someone could pause it right here. And I'm sure some of these shorts will be discoveries for our listeners. The Oswald shorts are particularly interesting to me as cool discoveries. Were you familiar with all of these shorts leading up to the restoration process?
Definitely not all of them. I think we have like over 600 classic shorts or something over time. There are a lot. And I definitely was not familiar with all of them. And once you're working on them, you get very familiar with every frame. So I have a little more expertise. But yeah, every time something comes up, like, oh, I've never seen that. I wasn't as familiar with some of the older ones. It was very interesting, like working on the Oswald. We did a couple of Oswald shorts, and those were very unique and really early in the animation stage.
I think that's super awesome. That's so, so fun that you're getting to go back in time. And then as we're talking about just bringing it to a different kind of screen, you mentioned it earlier, but how great is it to have this moment on Disney Plus to bring all these shorts there?
It's really great just to have them up there. I had so many people, even just at the studio, have reached out and said, oh, I watched all of the shorts this weekend that went up with my family. And you know, some of my, you know, younger kids had never seen any of these shorts. So I think it's really great to have it so accessible because they are short. So it's a lot easier for people to have the full features. You know, they have DVDs, they have copies, they've seen them on TV, but they feel like the shorts kind of sometimes get overlooked by some people. Some people know all the shorts, probably more than I do. But I think it's just really great that they made a priority of putting these shorts up this year, especially for, you know, for the anniversary.
So many of these shorts are so important to the history of Disney. The oldest short released so far is The Skeleton Dance in 1929. But there's also one that's the first appearance of Donald's nephews and another that's the first appearance of Goofy. Which of these shorts so far would you consider the most valuable? The one that makes you say, oh, I'm really glad we got that one restored.
You know, it's tough because so many of them, I feel like, have different significance, just even if it's not the first Goofy, because I think we also have the first Pluto, but just seeing the Pluto in the early stages and then later, you know, and how much he's changed. I mean, for me, it's super interesting, and definitely working on the Oswalds felt like important because I don't know if you know any history on that. I only know a little bit, but you know, they didn't belong to Disney. They belonged to Universal for a long time. And I guess someone did some deals and got some of that back. So it's really neat to have those available. We also got to work on Bone Trouble, which in the past, it was a long time ago, they had replaced the original title cards and we didn't have them. So we were through this process and getting, you know, some money from the studio to work on restoration, we were able to track them down and we had them put back. So when everybody gets to see that, they're going to see the original main titles, which I'd never seen before. So if they'd been available, I don't know where they were, but that felt really neat to finally fix that.
I think that what I personally love, like you're talking about, is the discovery, but also rediscovery of some of these characters and like their evolution over time, because you may have met a character at a certain era and then here we are seeing them in present day. And it's really, really just a tremendous thing. Like Huey, Dewey, and Louie, we were talking about that. I absolutely loved, but also Minnie Mouse. There's a major shift in the way that she's animated in Building a Building, for example, in 1933, and how she looks in that day in 1946. Animation came a long way in those 13 years. So does that change in her looks change how you approach the restoration?
Yes, we definitely try to use whatever references we can get from the time. And we also sometimes consult with some of the animators in animation. There's a few guys there who've been around a while and they have some knowledge to try to make sure, you know, with all the characters, they're the right skin tone for that era, right? You know, how did Minnie look? How did Mickey look? Also, you'll see sometimes we find when we're restoring it, like an ear will suddenly lose its black for a frame. So we make sure she has her black ears and the right ears and that her whole look is consistent with the way we think she's supposed to look. And also in the film, you can see in the film negative a lot of times what the intention is. We're usually just fixing issues of consistency and trying to make sure things are consistent. You know, Minnie's pink is pink. Chigurh's red bow is the right red. But, you know, you can usually see the color that they preserved in the film negative is there. It's really great. So we always try to work with whatever the original filmmaker who made that short kind of intended, you know, wherever we are.
I love how having that film negative allows it to be so authentic to the artist's original intentions. These shorts are, as you mentioned, part of the Disney 100 celebration. So tough question, but looking at 100 years of Disney animated shorts, old and new, do you have a favorite?
That's always tough. You know, we love all our children. That's a big topic. I've always been a big Chip and Dale fan. We got to work on a Chips Ahoy, which was really neat and was also an early CinemaScope. And we have a few, I believe, or a small handful of shorts in CinemaScope. So that was really neat. I would love to do something like, you know, I don't know, one day, like maybe The Adventures of Chip and Dale or something like that, where just, especially when you have a mix of animation and live action, it's a totally different challenge from a restoration point of view. That would probably be, I would say, some of my favorites. Although, you know, you work on them and you learn to love all of them through, of course.
I was going to say, I think Chip and Dale, we know. We know Karen is now your favorite. Maybe, maybe not. But you mentioned it. Chips Ahoy is coming in October. And obviously, you're a big fan. But these shorts are no doubt the holy grail of the classic Disney animation era. Are there still some shorts out there with historical importance that you'd like to take a shot at restoring?
You know, there definitely are. A lot of the shorts, depending on the time period, we have done previous restorations, a lot of in SD and some in HD. We're focused now on really trying to work in 4K and preserve. Part of what we do is also we preserve, you know, the film. We always scan everything, just put it away, and we keep it preserved so we can always go back to it, because the film, unfortunately, is a physical thing. And over time, it will always show a little bit of wear and tear. So, I mean, there's lots of shorts. We haven't done it 4K because we mostly were working in 2K and HD in the past. So I'd love to do this many every year.
Well, can you tell us, I mean, what is the next Disney project you'll be working on, Karen?
We have been working on Snow White.
Wow.
I think that's coming soon. Snow White is obviously of an era in the 1930s, and it was probably one of the most challenging projects I've ever done. And I, before I was at Disney, worked on, you know, things from the 1920s, you know, for other studios that were really challenging. And Snow White was really challenging. It really looks great. So I'm really excited for people to see that. And we also work on other things for the studios, like live action titles, things like Sideways, sort of regular features with no animation at all. And everything always is different and has its different challenges. We like this work so much because it's always different and it's always interesting. And there's always new challenges to sort of figure out, you know, how to make stuff work. So,
well, thank you so much for joining us, Karen. From the parks to the films, I feel like Disney is all about the magic and the details. And that's so true to what you do. So again, thank you so much for being here.
Well, wowie zowie. I didn't think I could be more excited to watch more of these shorts. And yet here I am. That was such a great chat. Well, you know what time it is. It's time for 5 fantastic things to watch this weekend, presented by State Farm. For complete details, visit d23.com. And remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. What's up first?
And first up, we have The Wonder Years. After debuting on ABC, The Wonder Years is now streaming on Hulu. The show wrapped up its second season with 2 new episodes. And happy birthday, Clisby. The Williams gather to celebrate Clisby's 75th birthday, and Melvin's daughter shares big news with Lillian and Kim. In the season finale, the family decides to go on vacation. Kim suggests a road trip to Austin College, while Dean proposes a stop at Disneyland Park. With this episode called The Happiest Place on Earth, I can't wait to see where the road trip takes them.
I love when TV shows go to Disneyland. That's so fun. Next up, Miguel Wants to Fight, which is now streaming on Hulu. Despite living in a neighborhood where fighting is stitched into the fabric of everyday life, high school junior Miguel has never found himself in one. And to be honest, he's perfectly fine with that. But when a combination of events turns his life upside down, Miguel and his 3 best friends enter into a series of hilarious misadventures as he tries to get into his first ever fight.
Okay, well, I've got one for you. World Princess League is upon us, Hunter.
Yes.
So, Lego Disney Princess The Castle Quest begins streaming this Friday, August 18th, to kick off the celebration. In Lego Disney Princess The Castle Quest, Tiana, Moana, Snow White, Rapunzel, and Ariel are off on an adventure as they are each unexpectedly transported to a mysterious castle. Shortly after arriving, they soon discover that Gaston has hatched an evil plan to take over all their kingdoms. Oh no, what's going to happen? What a cliffhanger. But you know what? One thing that's guaranteed is we have an amazing voice cast on this. From Jodie Benson to Ali Cravayo. I'm pretty excited for this.
I'm excited for that too. Okay, next, Star Wars Young Jedi Adventures, which airs Friday, August 18th at 9 a.m. on Disney Channel and Disney XD and 7:30 p.m. on Disney Junior. The episode's 2 stories include Visitor's Day, in which the Jedi track down artifacts stolen from the town fair, and The Growing Green Danger, where Nubs, who is voiced by Dee Bradley Baker, plants a seed that grows out of control. That Dee Bradley Baker, he is a talented guy.
Talented, talented indeed. And to close us out this week, we have something that's very meaningful. Stand Up to Cancer airs on ABC this Saturday, August 19th. The entertainment community will come together for Stand Up to Cancer and its 8th fundraising special, supporting urgently needed research and new treatments for cancer. It's debuting in a refreshing new format, and the celebration entitled How It Started, How It's Going will recognize Stand Up to Cancer's impact and progress over the last 15 years. Be on the lookout in this one-hour show for Elizabeth Banks, Jessica Biel, Don Cheadle, just to name a few.
Okay, before we go, I wanted to share that I am stepping away from the podcast for now. And in the meantime, the lovely and talented Courtney, Lisa, and Hunter will be taking it from here.
So fortunate to know you and to have worked with you. And thank you. Thank you.
I've been very fortunate to cross paths with you, Sherry. And I'm very excited that we were able to at least share this moment.
And thank you all again for listening to D23 Inside Disney. Don't forget to like and share this episode wherever you listen or subscribe. And if you want to chat with us, hashtag D23 Inside Disney.
And for all the latest Disney info, check out D23.com.
We'll be back soon with more fantastic guests on an all-new episode of D23
Inside Disney.